Do the Gospel of John. And the title for this preaching is To Meet the Healing of Jesus and Restoring Love, and His Restoring Love. So now that we're starting this new theme, God is for us. He is for me, He is for you, He is for us. And this we see very clearly. What I want to focus on now is Peter. Peter, who did a lot of things, among other things, he denied Jesus 3 times and Jesus restored him. I also want to say, it will be a lot of Bible reading. If you have read the Bible often, then sometimes you might jump a little bit between the lines, and then you might think, yeah, but then this and that happens. And I read a text which wasn't the same, wasn't as old as the Bible, but and also was very compact, and there was a lot happening, and I got almost a headache after, and I thought, help. And I put that book away, I'll get back to you later. And they needed to be very precise and direct in what they said in this book. And we see this in the Bible also. And we might need to stop and think that what happened here now really? And then the Bible often explains what happens when someone does something. So why did this person did like this? But because in the next lines, the Bible comes in and say that this happened because this person had this or that attitude, or because of something else. This happens sometimes, but not always. And sometimes we are taught, and sometimes these like empty spaces are filled, and we might remember this. That there's also room for interpretation in the Bible. Sometimes there is not like a direct text, but we can go back and say that this what says in the Bible that is this is what the Bible says, and sometimes I might interpret this like this. And often it is because of the picture of God that we have. So let's start in John 13 and 36 to 38. John 13, 36 to 38. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, you will really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And we can a little bit think about who is this Peter. He is one of the disciples that we remember his name. A lot happens around him. I don't remember the name of every one of them, but Peter is one of those that are like etched in my mind. A lot happened, he said a lot, and he thought a lot. And many times, we see that he does these right things. He's one of the disciples that walked on water. And he also got this insight about who is Jesus, that he is Messiah. And then other times it doesn't go so well. And like earlier in this chapter, that Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said that, no, you will not wash my feet. then Jesus said that, yes, I need to do this, that if I don't wash you, you don't have any part in me. Then Peter said, okay, yes, but not only my feet, but also my head and the rest of me. And then Jesus said, no, only the feet. And we see this right attitude many times. And he showed impulsiveness and courage. But then for me, some pieces of the puzzles fell in place when someone said that he might think that someone might expect him to say, but it doesn't always go the right way for him. And we can see here the picture that the Peter has. How he wants to lay down his life for Jesus. And then with the direct words that Jesus says, that you want to do it like this, but this is what you will do. And it will be like a frontal crash for Peter here. The both realities. But we continue and read John 18. 15-18. Peter's first denial. I will read first the verses 15-18 and then 25-27. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was down on the high priest came down, spoke to the servant girl on duty there and brought Peter in. You aren't one of the this man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. He replied, I am not. It was cold and the servants and officials stood around at the fire and had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. So they asked him, aren't you one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter could have challenged him, didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment a rooster began to crow. So Peter had first with the sword defended Jesus. In another gospel, it says that after the rooster began to crow, it said that Jesus turned to Peter. It just says about one look. It probably says something about that person's picture of God. That someone might think there was a sorrow in Jesus' eyes or love in it despite everything. But it also says that after Peter got this look from Jesus, then he remembered what Jesus had said. I can only talk about myself, but when I've had moments when I've thought that, God, where are you? That why don't you do like this or like this? But then there are also those moments when we know that God, we don't need to look for any guilty person here. We know what it is about. That I don't have anything to defend myself with in this situation. We have these moments in our lives. And now we can see how Jesus reacts to this when he meets Peter. So Peter got to meet this brokenness in our human nature. Maybe even with the one like we want to, who we want to be. We also know that it didn't end here. And now we can jump to after the crucifixion. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, and he has already met the disciples and other people several times. And we will go to John 21. One of the reasons we are almost only in John today is because John relays a lot about what happened in the last time of Jesus. I will start by reading in John 21, 3 to 8. We are at the Tiberias Lake, and there are less than 10 people. So verses 3 to 8, it says, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. I've kind of waited for an opportunity to turn these verses around a little bit. I'm glad there was an insight of the same thing. It might have been a coincidence, but that Peter noticed that, said that people are hungry and I'm going out to fish. But what I see here is that someone who is disappointed in life, who was called again about Jesus, and then is lost and doesn't know what to do, and then goes back to that old and familiar to him, to go fishing. That I fished before, I can do this again. This new has been and gone, and it had nice promises of God, but it doesn't exist anymore. So I'll go back to the old that I know. Sometimes we can remember the old. During our modernization, we have lost a few things that we may need to rediscover. But if we are honest, then sometimes we don't go back to the old because it's the best alternative, but it's what feels most simple or reasonable. But we see here how Jesus again comes to the fishermen and calls them and shows who he is through God's word, that God's word in the right time gives this overflowing and gives this blessing. And we see how it is in God's nature to bless. And we also see how they didn't even know. They had been there and maybe fished all through the night. I'm happy that I haven't been out fishing whole night. And they might have been tired. And then hear someone giving instructions from the beach, from the shore, that and we see then how they receive this gift. And before we continue, I want to comment that we see a difference in personality here. In the Bible, Paul talks about how we are one body, that there are different parts of the body, but it builds one full body. And we see here how they discover different things, that John has already understood a lot, and he's described as the one whom Jesus loved. But he also says it, that have you noticed who's there? It's Jesus. And then we see that the one who goes to takes action and goes into the water, even if they were close to the shore. But they were those who got into the water. And I just want to say again that there is a place and there is a width in this body of Christ. There is a room for differences and for different personalities. And our different personalities show God's greatness. And now to John 21:9-14. When they landed, they saw a fire, a burning coal there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of them, the disciples, dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So this was the last thing that happened before Jesus then talked to Peter here. And we can see the other times the disciples remember that they had met him. That does he see in Jesus' actions, how he serves others. That if you want coal, you first need to have a fire. So Jesus had been there and planned and prepared this fire. And he had seen that they were tired. And he had prepared this rest for them. And we also see the divine in how Jesus asks them for fish, which Jesus already had given to them. And I think here is also a divine dimension to this. And he gives us, and at the same time he asks for the same from us. And he wants us to show these deeds through the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we can get a picture that we have a God that demands, but we can take comfort in these verses that we can realize what we have. We can also ask ourselves if Peter remembers what else happened at the fire, at the coal. Right at the fire where there was coal. it was the, at such a place where he had last the last time denied Jesus. He sat there and perhaps looked at this call with embarrassment, and he had thought, okay, that now I need to explain myself, or that now everything is lost. We of course don't know what he thought, but we know that none of them dared to ask who he was, who Jesus was. And we know from this text that it is Jesus who then starts to speak. But it is interesting when we talk about this, to be, have denied him three times and then be restored. We can start from John 21 and 15, but there's so much in these verses here before. There is so much like slow and but still foundational work that is done here, just that they get to rest and they get to eat before Jesus then starts to speak to Peter. Already that shows a deep caring for them. And I think he in the same way wants to show this to us. Now I want to read these verses 15 to 17 and then 18 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And then he continues to tell to Peter how his life will end. And then after that, he says in verse 19, then he said to him, "Follow me." And we see here how Jesus waited until they had rested and had gotten something to eat and realize who they are there with. And then he asked Peter three times. And there are many explanations why it's three times. Personally, I think it's for Peter's peace of mind. He had denied him three times, and then also three times he had confessed his love to Jesus. And when we get used to the Bible and reading the Bible, observe that what Jesus goes after here, he asks, "Do you love me?" That's what he goes after. It's not so many development discussions for me that have started with, "Do you love Jesus?" But here in the task that Jesus, that Peter will have in the time that he lives, and also according to what we learn of the Bible, the deeds, the actions, and this to choose a new way and be restored, and to realize his own shortcomings, and then coming back, so to speak, after that. So the most important thing for that is that we come back to this love to Jesus, that we are reminded that I don't serve Jesus in the first place. I love Jesus. And this is the question Peter gets here. And we also see a lot happens in the Greek text, so to speak, a lot happens here, but it's also relayed in the Swedish translation. Two times Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" And Peter asks, "Yes, you know I love you." Then the third time Jesus asks that Simon, son of John, "Do you love me?" And Peter answers that, "Yes, I love you." And the words that are used there are agape, the first times. This unselfish heavenly love. Then we have phileo, what Peter answers with, the human love, that I am loved, so therefore I love back. Peter promised a lot that all others can like forsake you, but I will not forsake you. And then that Jesus, you're asking for agape, but what I can give is phileo. And we see also how Jesus meets Peter here. There are different interpretations here does he ask Peter, are you sure you can fulfill this phileo even? Or does Jesus see that as that Jesus doesn't want to ask Peter something he can't keep? It's this Peter's like a castle in the air, so to speak, about who he thought he was. This had like gone into pieces. And this was very beautiful to see. Personally, I want to believe that Jesus rejoices about what Peter can give. And I think we can also have a rest in this, that we give Jesus what we can give in those situations and in those times in life. And here I also want to say that we as human beings, sometimes we receive only phileo from our fellow human beings. And I think the world is in as the world is today, this agape, this unselfish love, we should not have that as a standard to what we expect from people. Sometimes we need to be satisfied with what people can or are able to give. But those times when we see and we do see and when we can give agape to someone else, we can rejoice very much in this. We as human beings, we do as well as we can. As the Bible says, that the treasure we have, it is in jars of clay. And we see here also Peter, that from having been a person, a fisherman, he's called to be a shepherd. If it is a coincidence, I don't know. But in order to takes someone out to pastures to be a shepherd, you need to have this insight of yourself to realize it's not really about me, but it's about God's perfect love, that I can lead other people to that. If Jesus needed to show this, or if Peter saw these shortcomings in himself through Jesus giving this task to him, we don't know. But we know Peter gets this calling, and we can note that we can note whose this flock is. Jesus says, "My lambs." When there are denominational like differences or strife. It's good to have a place where we feel rooted and where we can grow. But if we take this to in Jesus' eyes, we are His and no one else's. And we see here in this story how Jesus restores Peter by taking care of him and helping him to grow and show into the future and show forgiveness. And this was probably very difficult, but Peter had here been restored to love firstly. And just as a parenthesis, that don't go under other people's demands in detail when you love Jesus. So to speak, there is a process of but we can have two heavy burdens laid upon us too early, and we can need to go in our own pace. What is very good is that try to find places to where you feel that you are loved, not in the first place to places where you can serve, but where you can meet God's love and from others, and make sure you have these places and these moments in your life. We need these kind of free places, so to speak, in the lives we live. And I think Peter would also, he might not have been like proud of the details, but still, I think he would agree to this. Romans, We know that for those who love God, everything works out for the best. Those who are called according to His. My prayer is that when you look back to times of trials, that life is sometimes things that just happen, that it can be visible that even though there were difficult times, that things that happened, we see how everything works together and how God can use things and how God can restore us. And I pray that we time and time again will be shown this God's restoring love by Jesus.